hustle of real estate, leadership, and everyday life here in the Ozarks, we all need authentic ways to recharge and connect. That's exactly what Bigfoot Fun Park delivers, and as your proud sponsor this year on Simply Authentic Podcast, we're thrilled to be a part of the conversation. Just a short scenic drive from Springfield, come putt through our number one rated mini golf full of Bigfoot surprises, tackle immersive escape rooms with your team or family, and win great prizes playing the arcade's mix of classic and cutting edge games. Keeping the good times authentic and close to home, Bigfoot Fun Park is Branson's best place to play.
Hi, I'm Jamie Dressler. I'm a mortgage lender and an avid fan and faithful listener of the Simply Authentic podcast. I believe in the power of homeownership, and I'm truly passionate about helping others become successful homeowners. With years of industry experience, I guide clients through the financial process, ensuring that together we find the strategies that fit both current needs as well as future goals. Whether you're looking to buy your first home, a vacation home, exploring investment property options, or simply refinancing your existing mortgage, I would love to visit with you.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically.
Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And today we have an exciting announcement. We have a new podcast sponsor, and it is Bigfoot Fun Park in Branson.
Woo-hoo!
And we are so excited about the sponsorship.
Yes.
We are also very excited to have in studio the owner and Emma
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yes. I didn't write your last name down on here. I knew it started with an H. So Emma is the owner of the Bigfoot Fun Park in Branson. And so we're going to get into what they offer down there and what you need to go to Branson for this season to do for fun. But we're first going to learn a little bit about Emma, the owner of it.
Very good. Well, thank you guys both so much for having me. And I am one of the owners of Bigfoot Fun Park. I'm lucky to have a great support system with that as well. So we currently have two local owners, but we love being a local business here in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. We're excited to be a part of the podcast and sponsor as well. So
we're so excited about that.
And I'm lucky enough to grow up here in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
I grew up in Berryville, Arkansas, born and raised. And as far as getting started with business, I had the chance to get started early on. We see that trend going on right now on social media that says, win something, say yes. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was when the mayor says, I'd like you to be a part of a leadership group. You say yes, though you're 16 years old. And so I was one of two high school students that got to participate in a leadership program sponsored by Entergy at the time. And it was a really great experience because we thought it was going to be something that you did for 6 or 8 weeks to bring community leaders together and network. Mm-hmm. But we were tasked with creating a project that would enhance our community. And we took on the project of the hypothetical question of whether we could have a community center in Berryville. And mm-hmm. at the time, we had about 5,000 people that live within the city limits. Mm-hmm. About 25,000 live within the commute within the county of Carroll mm-hmm. County. Okay. And so we worked on this project, and each person took on kind of a segment of the community. So we had bank leaders, we had business owners, people from the city, so different segments. And then there was two of us high school students. So we took on kind of addressing the education and the students in our community and representing them. Mm-hmm. And so as we went through the process, we started to try and identify what we would need as a community, what would enhance, and what would really be a great fit for everyone, and came up with an idea that we would love to have a banquet hall. We would love to have classroom space and aerobic exercise space, an indoor swimming pool, mm-hmm. a walking track and exercise equipment, an indoor gymnasium. And so this all came to be, and we went out and pulled different groups of the community, and also thought thought about on the financial side what that would actually mean to make it a reality. And so at the close of the program, we presented this to the mayor, and he actually said, I really love this. Let's see if we could make it a reality. And so he took the plans that we had created, and the community reviewed and passed a half-cent sales tax to support the project. And so, of course, at that point, a few years it took to actually start getting everything in together. And so I actually graduated high school and went on to College of the Ozarks. And each summer I came home and ran our city pool and was involved with the recreation department on that side. And really at that time, we volunteers helped support our local sports programs. And then we had the outdoor swimming pool. But that was kind of what we had in programming for the community through the parks department. But the mayor knew that he wanted to actually develop out the parks department and have that support the community a little bit stronger. And so I stayed in touch, of course, since I came home and worked. And he told me the year before my senior year in college, he said, I really want you to come back and be a part of this. And I said, you know, at that age, you're like, I'm moving out. I'm doing something big, going to the city, all that. But the year after when I finished, I actually, he came to me again and said, we've put somebody in that place, but it's not going to work out. I really want you to think about this. And so I agreed that I would come back for that year and help get the aquatics and fitness program up and running. And so there was three of us that opened this building. So in the meantime, they created a $5.3 million facility and included all the elements that we had highlighted that would be great for the community. And it was really exciting to see the community come together and create something that was it was needed. Really was. And it would enhance everyone's experience. And so we also created a way in which we could really run it effectively. So a family membership, regardless of how many people were in your family, could join for the whole year for $100.
Oh, wow.
For full access. And so not only was it affordable. Something that was there, it was something that everyone could have access to and set up ways in which there could be grants even for families that might be more than what they could afford, and also to reach out to other programs like those in foster care and those that might and for families, really to make it as accessible as possible. And so then we sort of started developing programs. And so very soon, not only did I have the aquatics and fitness, but I started taking on I was getting assigned other programs throughout the community, which was a great opportunity. And after a year, we'd gone through two different actual directors that had stayed for a year and left. And the mayor was really seeing like, we need some stability in this to really make it what I want it to be. So he came to me and said, I really want you to be the director. And at this point, I was 23, so quite young to take on something with that kind of responsibility. But he said, I want you to stay for 3 to 5 years and take this on and actually let's make this happen. And so I agreed. And so every time we had a new season for sports or anything, it came under my umbrella. And so really started working with the community and with volunteers and ways that we could really highlight needs and fill those needs and be able to kind of bring some structure to programs and make sure that we could keep those happening at the best of their ability. So I did a lot of unique things that I didn't ever dream of, but it also let me really work with other members of the community, both from, of course, getting to know their families and providing youth sports, but we also provided a lot in the adult segment as well. So we developed an adult karate program. Silver Sneakers, we brought that under the umbrella to be able to support seniors. We did adult Spanish classes, all kinds of things. Yeah. So as the community would have a need or a want, we would find a way that we could hopefully make that happen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we did youth ballet classes and all kinds of other opportunities and really tried to make something for everyone. Mm-hmm. And we also, with having the indoor gymnasium, could bring in the adult soccer program and support other elements of the community, but really try to be open to everyone. And along the way, I got to develop a skate park for the community that we had gotten a grant for, was able to develop a city park that's still there and work with the parks department on buying the equipment and assembling and actually renovating an old schoolhouse that's there on the property. So really ways that we could enrich the community and things that it's really rewarding to go home and see those things and see kids still participating and families interacting. And the community center actually celebrated its 20-year anniversary recently. So, and the facilities actually it's all paid for and taken care of, and it's still thriving. So it's really amazing to be able to do that. And so that's how I got my start, really, on that side. And even though it was for a municipality, it was there was definitely some entrepreneurial side with actually, I mean, they turned over a building to us and said, and there were three of us, and said, the grand opening is in a week. And really, we went to Sam's and bought desks. I assembled all of the office furniture for the building.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, every step
truly
of the way.
Hands-on.
Yes. Absolutely. And it was great to see, because, you know, typically when you come into a business, if it's already established, you don't think about all of the things that it takes
that
to put things together. And every turn, you know, every few months, it was something of, okay, well, there may be something established, or there may be something brand new, but let's see how we can figure this out and make it happen and grow along the way. We also developed a summer youth program. So we had 60 kids that we supported and had counselors and all of that. So we planned out the programming for the summer months. And so I think that also helped me start to be really attuned to experiences and how to improve along the way. And then after doing that for about 9 years, I was starting to look into other aspects because I've learned I really love building and I like that creative element. And so we were getting to the point where we were then getting things to where they were running smoothly, pulling people in, and we were getting to that point where I could felt like even if I left, things could continue. And it was a good reminder too, because not only could they continue, but someone else might be able to come in and use their strengths to improve what we had established as well. And so I started looking into other opportunities, and being close to Branson, that was still something I was interested in, being in that area. And I ended up interviewing with Yakov Smirnoff for his general manager position for his theater. And I had not been in show business or theater or anything like that. But I did know how to run a facility and programs and, you know, had some ideas about creating experiences. And I knew I had a lot to learn. But I do. I love learning new things. And so I came in and met with him, and we had a really great conversation. He's really, really an interesting and really dynamic person. And at the end, he said, "You know, you don't really know anything about marketing." And I said that. I mean, about sales and marketing, because that's what he was considering me. I said, "You're right. I don't, but I'm sure I could learn." And he's like, "Well, okay, let's see what we could figure out." But through that process, I met Cindy Mary, who is actually still our marketing consultant, and she had started working with another client that she had known for a long time, and they were starting the process of building a zip line in Branson. And so she had actually recommended me to her clients that were getting ready to build the zip line, and said, "I met this girl and she has a great background for what you guys are looking for, and I think she could be a good fit for sales and marketing." And we met, and they said, "Well, you don't really know anything about sales and marketing." And I said, "I know." And they said, "But we want you to come run our facility." So that's how I came on board and started into the tourism segment of working in Branson. And so, and then we've been partners for I came in as an employee and then got the chance to buy in. And so now we've been building attractions in Branson, building and operating for the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So go back to the... I mean, I could go back and ask questions about the whole Berryville experience, but I think we'll save those until we actually talk about what you learned from those experiences.
Sounds great. Yeah.
So the zip line, you got started in that because you met the right people.
Yes.
And then you became an owner of that, and you helped develop the business of that as an owner. So from a similar side of the fence of having to be creative, having to figure out how to run something. You had a great background of that growing up.
Yes.
And then you're doing it for yourself. So what was that like, creating that first business of your own? What were the differences that maybe you had learned from your past in Berryville, and what did you apply in that first business? And then we'll talk about you moving on to other businesses.
Okay, very good. That's a great question and a great perspective of looking back into. Because obviously with the city, there's an element of support. And when you work for a municipality, things move very slowly.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that I knew that I wanted to maybe work on. Like, I was excited about being in a dynamic where things could move quicker.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot about I think even the foundation of some of the elements of some of the structure of building, you know, a manual for your employees and like all of the municipality, like structured parts that you have to have in place. Yeah. And so I had a good foundation of that. But I was so excited when coming into our own business that we were able to make decisions very quickly and change and adapt as we needed to. And obviously there's accountability, but it was a different level of accountability in that we were accountable to ourselves. And so we were really able to pivot and make decisions and be more creative, I think, at a different scale. And with that too was creating that experience, but you had a little bit different segment. So from our first experience was like the whole community. And this was something that we were looking specifically and creating this experience for a specific demographic. So that was a little bit different too. But I think having that experience and having the support there from what we needed to do, and even with having financial restrictions and things like that that you had to be accountable on, that still helped you with keeping a really good idea about budgeting and keeping those things top of mind. So there was a lot from my previous, and my parents both are entrepreneurs. They both own their own businesses. And it was an experience I had as a young person that I said, I am never going to own my own business.
And so never say never.
I know that's been a huge underscore in my life. Never say never. But, you know, it was something that I could appreciate their drive and their passion for being able to be creative and being independent. And that really coming into being able to own your own business. I mean, there are huge challenges. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to you.
That's right.
You know? And that was a little bit different from a city aspect. You know, you have a little bit more of a structure and other people to depend on and all of that. A little bit more of a safety net and coming into your own business. Yes, you get the creative and you get the that side of it that is really, really exciting and a great opportunity. But at the other side of it, you're responsible for a lot in it, and it's up to you at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. You have a unique perspective because many people, once they will call it the public and private side, when you're in the public, working with public entities, there is that feeling of comfort, right? You get a regular paycheck, and you somebody else is making the higher decisions, that kind of thing, and you are an employee, and then you go to the private side, and now it's all you, right? You know, you are the decision maker, which is a great thing. We you know, as realtors, we understand that, and it takes a certain amount of guts and ingenuity to kind of do that and to create something that is yours, because you guys, you came into this, the zip line wasn't your idea, but you made it yours because you threw some creativity in there, and we'll let you tell our listeners about that. And then at what point then you sold the zip line and you moved to a different type of, another type of entertainment facility.
Yep.
So talk to our listeners about that. Why just it being a zip line really wasn't enough for you. You had to create something along a storyline.
Well, and that's what's great too about the partners that I came to work for and then also became partners with is that they love to do things above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And so one of our partners, he always says, I want to blow their minds. And so having this like big idea about what we can create and excitement about the creativity and what we can actually happen, which was different from from actually working with the public sector. You know, you got to be more creative and get to create these experiences. But with that, coming into the zip line was a little intimidating because my first tasks were, one, I needed to find a helicopter that could set poles across the hillside to actually build the zip line towers. And I needed to write a story that would be a central point of the experience for the zip line. And so they needed to both be done within a few days. And so, that was totally different. One, to be able to have that creativity and not to have anything holding me back. So, I said, what kind of budget do I have? Well, you have to find the helicopter first. What does it cost? And so,
Nobody knows.
You just had to really be resourceful. Yeah. And so, you start to build confidence in doing something unusual and unique, but found the helicopter that could come and set all of the poles. And then also created this great story to be able to, because we actually created the first themed zipline canopy tour, maybe out there, period. We were the first canopy tour, meaning multiple zip lines within a tour in the continental United States, and the first themed one. So we created theming elements throughout the experience that you actually interact with while you zip. We created a themed gift shop space there that you came and checked into and that you were shopping in, and lots of elements, but lots and lots and lots of fun details that we worked into it. So all of those are challenges, but also it just enhances that experience and makes it even more in-depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that was something I didn't even know, that it had a theme to it, you know? So I love that idea.
Well, and there was some key components, which I think is an important part when developing something and with business, is knowing the things that you really want that are really important, that are going to be like your foundations, and then things that you can build around with that. So we knew that we wanted to create a themed experience. We wanted it to play into the uniqueness of the Ozarks and give people that little tidbit, like that little extra for coming and experiencing the Ozarks. So the storyline that you learn about while you're there is actually the story of the family that founded the property, the Wolf family. And so you learn about their story and you see elements. They were mining silver, lead, and silver, lead, and oh goodness, and silver and lead on the property. And so you actually zip line across an old mine, and you see these elements out on the property to bring it to life, and all of them tied in together. So really we were weaving the storytelling in throughout that experience.
That's cool.
And to be able to create that and go all the way through too was a really fun part of the whole experience. And so you're exceeding people's expectations. They're coming to go ziplining with their family, and when they arrive, they find all of this extra that they didn't even know and they weren't expecting. So we knew that that was part of it. We knew we wanted it to be a low-packed experience for people to be able to. It wasn't going to be super intensive. There was just some really key details about what would make that experience special and unique and enjoyable for our guests. And so having those foundations, we knew, and that's kind of been a mainstay through all of our experiences, making sure that it was something great for families, the quality experience was there, and that it was enjoyable for people. And so once you kind of have your foundation, you can keep that consistent through each thing that you do, whether it's at that business or as you're creating new businesses.
Right. So you moved from the zipline business to what?
So we actually created two more experiences within the zipline world. And so we created Branson Zipline, which is also known as Wolf Mountain. And it's, of course, between Springfield and Branson. And then we developed the Parakeet Peak properties down at Branson Landing. So the zipline that goes across the water. So lots of fun things involved with that and unique things that we got to do there. For instance, it allowed us to be able to allow even more people to zipline because we developed it to where it was wheelchair accessible. And so opened up another segment and experience. That had otherwise that didn't meet some of the requirements to safely participate on other traditional zip lines. So that was super rewarding, and we built a party deck across the water and got to do some really fun things with that experience. And then we also built Parakeet Pete's Balloon, which was a sightseeing experience there, which there was a lot of fun dynamics with that. And then we sold all of those properties about 10 years ago. And then we were starting to build Bigfoot Fun Park.
Which is what we're here to talk about.
Exactly.
And I think that that's probably a great time for us to take a little break.
It is.
And then we'll come back and hear more about Bigfoot.
Okay.
Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Christy Norris with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving both Missouri and Kansas with 13 locations. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage, making dreams come true when closing at a time. That's why Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together.
Real talk, real industry insights. Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Jack Langley at Gershman Mortgage. We've been helping home buyers and real estate professionals for over 70 years, and we know that success just isn't about transactions. It's about knowledge, relationships, and having the right tools to grow. That's why we're proud to host Simply Authentic in our studio, bringing you the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. And we're here with Emma Hamilton. She is one of the owners of Bigfoot down in Branson. And so we've kind of gotten to learn a lot about her history and how she got to where she is. So now let's talk about Bigfoot.
Yes.
My first question was, how did you come up with the name? Yes. Where did Bigfoot come from?
Well, so we knew that we wanted to create a storyline that fit really well in the Ozarks, but we didn't want to duplicate something that was already there. There's a lot of history with the Bald Knobbers and with the Ozark Flair, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. But we didn't, again, want to copy something sure. that was already established. And so we were trying to be creative. And when we first opened, one of the things we knew we wanted to do was an off-road tour. So we were thinking, why would people go off into the woods? What would they experience going off into the hills? Mm-hmm. And Bigfoot came up because, especially with us, with the three owners at the time, one was a big believer, one no way, but loved the fun of it. And I'm kind of in the middle. Right. Maybe you never know. And so that was like the emphasis, like the beginning of that idea. And then we kind of talked about how we could develop that throughout the entire park. And, you know, it's something that it connects with so many different people mm-hmm. and also different ages. Mm-hmm. And right. so the more we thought about it, the more it really fit. We started doing research. There wasn't a fun park that existed that used that theme. Mm-hmm. And so the more that we talked about it, the more it just became the right fit. And we found fun ways that we could build around that. Gotcha. But a way to connect with guests of all ages.
Yeah.
And everybody knows when you see Bigfoot, you know what it is.
Yeah. Bigfoot, yep. Right? Exactly. Yeah.
So when you go to your facility in Branson, there's lots of Bigfoots around and different signage and so forth. So yeah, it's not easy to miss you, right? Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Yes. So what all are the things that you offer there at Bigfoot Fun Park? And then we'll kind of talk about your experience so far. And you've been open since when?
Oh, we opened in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is starting our ninth season.
Okay.
And so last year we introduced escape rooms for the first time, mm-hmm. which has gone really well. And so we focus on mini golf, arcade with redemption and escape rooms.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was there when you got the property? Was there anything mm-hmm. on property at the point where you bought it?
It was. A lot of people that are familiar with the area will connect with the $1 shop.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
And so we renovated the $1 shop, which has an interesting okay. story in itself because they built a whole franchise from there, and that was the main distribution hub.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but okay. yep, we kind of updated it and yeah. Made some changes to the building, but it's been a really good fit for us.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. We were down there. There's all kinds of, so in that main building, you've got your escape rooms, which mm-hmm. are downstairs, and then mm-hmm. the arcade upstairs.
Yep.
And
it is a gigantic arcade.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge. We have about 70 of the latest games.
Yeah.
And so that's been really fun. Again, we've transitioned into doing things that are totally unique from what we've done before. Yeah. And so again, finding that foundation that's important to you with, yeah. you know, creating a great experience and having quality and fun with people and safety as your top priority. All of those things have, mm-hmm. we use those in everything we develop, but then we've done all kinds of new things. Mm-hmm. And so with the arcade, that has been something new to learn, and then what it takes to maintain them and keep everything. You know, for us, keeping, even though this is our ninth season, we want people to come and be like, did you just open? You know, keeping everything yeah, fresh right. and new yeah. and working and up to date.
Yeah.
Because then I've learned too with the arcade, that's something people kind of have an idea about, you know,
yeah.
and because right now, you know, with the escape rooms, that's probably the part that people are the least familiar with, but mini golf mm-hmm. and arcade, people you know, that's sure. recognizable, yeah. you know. Sure. And so we want to take that familiarity, but also make it better than what they expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's let us do some things with the, with our previous, we've done a lot with gift shops. And so with the redemption, we really wanted to use that influence with the redemption with, so being able to play games and enjoy that side, but also go yeah. home with something that you're happy with.
Yes.
Giving options for kids and also the quality be something that you don't get in the car and it breaks, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
And so we've done some fun things. We bought out a full collection of NASCAR at one point. So these were collectible NASCAR from cars to all kinds of fun things. And we do a lot of sports memorabilia. So authentic signed sports memorabilia, coach mm-hmm. purses, name brand designer bags, and try and do some other collectible things along the way. So we try and do something a little bit more unique than just what your average would be of your little plastic toys yeah. that might get lost or broken.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as a parent, if I'm going to go and spend the time with mm-hmm. my kids or grandkids to play in the arcade, and then they go get their toy or toys they've earned, and it's some little janky thing. You know, the parent is always thinking, I spent $25 on that little teeny tiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
You
exactly.
know, so having mm-hmm. a quality toy, that is important,
yeah.
right,
so.
For the
yeah.
whole experience. Because
yes.
then the child is going to take that home and set it on their shelf or yep. play with mm-hmm. it even
yep.
better.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what is the seasonal aspect mm-hmm. of the Branson area like for you? Because from mine and Angie's perspective, mm-hmm. so when we met you, we talked about this, that – you know, we've lived here for a long time, as yep. now you've lived here for uh-huh. a long time, right? But because we live up here and we don't live in the Branson area, we don't frequent going down and driving through the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage all of our listeners to get in your car, especially over spring break,
yes.
and head down there, look uh-huh. for Bigfoot Fun Park, mm-hmm. but also just how much it has changed down there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But one thing we all know is that it's seasonal because
it is.
We know what tourism is in mm-hmm. Branson and the seasons that it's most in place and the hottest.
Yes.
So what is it like to own a business year-round that you stay open year-round?
We do.
Correct?
We do. And it's a very interesting dynamic. You have to really be thoughtful about a lot of how you structure your employees and your inventory and mm-hmm. your hours that you're open and what to expect. And mm-hmm. so it's a very, very unique place. We're very fortunate that it gives you that small town feel, but you get to do something
you're
so
right.
creative and
yeah.
get to do something out of the ordinary. But through January and February, it's still very sleepy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of places do close still. March will kick off for spring break, and then things get a little quiet again in April, and then you prepare for your big push for May through the middle of August.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then September will be really quiet. It picks up again towards the middle of October as the temperature changes a little
mm-hmm.
bit. Kids are back in school. You have more of your empty nesters traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And then from usually right before Thanksgiving all the way through the end of the year is your push where you'll start seeing a lot more travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, being family focused, we see a lot more when the kids are out of school. Those
mm-hmm.
are our busiest
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been interesting to preparing for this. I was thinking about like even the challenges of adapting from COVID, you know,
mm-hmm.
how people travel and even school schedules have changed a lot
mm-hmm.
since COVID. And so kids have more of a fall break, which
mm-hmm.
can actually be a little bit more like a spring break. So you prepare for that in October. So you have to be really mindful of trends. And a lot of our visitors, you know, we're also very dependent on weather
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of our visitors are driving within 300 miles or so. And
mm-hmm.
so they may not be planning whether they're going to, for sure, you know, it's easy enough for them by Wednesday to say, oh, the weather's going to be awful. We're not going to go.
Sure.
Or it's going to be really nice. Hey, we're not doing a lot. Let's go to Branson.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. With that in mind, I'm sure you've done a lot of homework and where your clientele comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when we were talking, is there a percentage of people that come to you from, like you said, within a couple of hours or whatever?
The majority of visitors come, yeah, within
okay.
300 miles.
300 okay. miles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we Oklahoma, St. Louis, Kansas City, Memphis has now been a lot of people are coming from the Memphis area. And then as far south, usually Little Rock, but even you'll see your folks from Texas as well
uh-huh.
driving up. So Dallas and that
That's
area.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does that affect your marketing? Do you look at marketing outlets in those areas then, I assume?
We do. So we do a lot for being able to bring people in from the immediate area. So, but then we also look at radio and TV for the outlying area too. Okay. And so you do have to be aware and of who your decision maker is. Mm-hmm. And also we also, kids, you know, kids connect a lot with what we do. So mm-hmm. they can be the driving force of, Mom, I want to go there.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we also are really mindful. We do a lot with print. That's one thing too that's interesting in the Branson area. Brochures are still really, mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. a prime. Mm-hmm. I know. And there's a lot of areas.
But
that,
I can see that, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was staying in a hotel down there, and we were going to talk the next day, and I happened to look up. I mean, there's tons of these brochures in the racks, yeah. right? But people still pick those up. I know yes. I did because uh-huh. I wanted to know what you were marketing mm-hmm. in terms of your facility and how that looked on paper, that kind of thing, and the layout of the property, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
people still.
Yeah, that's a big driver, and not necessarily for them to make the decision to come to Branson, but once they're in Branson, yes. Deciding what to do. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that's makes something sense. We try and really be mindful of.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And there is not an entry fee to your property.
Correct.
You can come on the property mm-hmm. and then you just pay to do the activities that you
yes.
want to participate in.
Yep. We have some combo packages that pair multiple attractions. Uh-huh. But yes, it's set up to where, and even if someone's coming and their grandkids are playing in the arcade or their kids are, there's no charge for coming along. So you're Got just it. Purchasing what you're participating in.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah. That's good.
So let's go back to mm-hmm. your stories of learning how yes. to be an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. because yes. your story is quite fascinating to be a 16-year-old and mm-hmm. get invited to be part right. of this idea. Mm-hmm. And then you go away to college and you come back and you're now the whole idea has come to fruition
yeah.
of what you were involved in from 16 to 18. And so as a young person, you learned a lot about business mm-hmm. and about working with bankers and trusted community members mm-hmm. that are much older than you are. Mm-hmm. And they had to trust you, too, that you weren't just some silly 16-year-old,
yep.
you know, putting together whatever, you know, was your part of the plan.
Yep.
So reflect on that just a little bit and your years that you spent there mm-hmm. after you saw that big project come to fruition. And what were the biggest takeaways for you that you took with you into your entrepreneur days of owning different businesses?
I think a big part of what I learned was one was never say never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also always taking the opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
So being very humble about it and regardless of who it is, trying to take something helpful away
yeah.
and really listening to those around you. So that being people that, you know, are more experienced that you can learn from, and also even really the people that you're serving, what their yeah. needs are, mm-hmm. because that's a key component is being able to see what they need and being able mm-hmm. to possibly provide that opportunity for them.
True.
Mm-hmm. And reevaluating as you're creating, because in our programming, you know, it's as successful as what how it serves the needs of the
right,
people
the community.
Participating. Yeah. You know, and so what is the hang up? Can you make the sign up easier? Does this mm-hmm. element need to be more straightforward for better success? And those are the kind of keys that you can bring into business as well that I've learned is like listening to our customer. And I still get the chance to be on the park, and I've done that with each of our businesses to really be in contact with our visitors and know where they're
sure.
coming from, what they're looking for, what's important to them. And all of those can kind of feed into decisions that you're making yeah. and understanding that dynamic. And so I love the creative part of it that, you know, yes, it's family dynamics. I had a visitor over Christmas break tell me, one of the reasons we love coming to your arcade is I feel really safe with my kids here mm-hmm. because of the layout. He said, I know where the entry point is, and I can sit and play the game that I enjoy playing, and I feel comfortable because my kids are right here, but I know, like, I feel comfortable in this setting, and I had not even thought about that. But if you can learn from your folks and set things up to where it meets their needs, that wasn't something that I was necessarily considering, and I appreciated him being able to vocalize that. But those are the elements that you learn along the way of taking that chance to even be present to listen.
True.
And so taking in those times where you're watching and observing, and we try and travel a lot and participate in other activities too.
Yeah.
And so those opportunities to learn from others that it might be something totally out of the ordinary, mm-hmm. but ways mm-hmm. that you could go, oh, I really enjoyed that, or that seems to be working really well. That could fix something that we could improve mm-hmm. on, but always keeping that fresh and how can we do better? And mm-hmm. I think early on with taking on new programs and them being something that were a bit seasonal, with them being usually sports programs or a program for the summer, it gave me that chance to assess and maybe read and do a little bit better. How mm-hmm. can we improve? How can we do better? And that really has helped me with the amusement side too, with mm-hmm. the seasonality to some degree, but also like how can we continue to do better and adapt?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're constantly learning that, obviously, from your guests who yes. come in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But mm-hmm. yeah, I think.
And ways to be able to connect with other people in true. The community. Yeah. You know, I was involved with city council and also the Arkansas Community Foundation and some other, philanthropic opportunities.
Sure.
And so that kind of motivation to still be connected with our community, to appreciate community mm-hmm. and not think about it as a separate business, but mm-hmm. also to think about it, you know, more, because Branson is such a small community yeah, at mm-hmm. the end of the
really
day. Mm-hmm. And so ways that you can appreciate the others and lift everyone up at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
I would guess that a lot of your employees are probably like that 16-year-old that you were. And do you have any in-house programs or even if it's not structured,
uh-huh.
that helps them sort of improve their skills and build for their future?
Yes. We work a lot on speaking to people and uh-huh. customer service
yes.
skills. And that's one of the big things that I know from that age group. And again, I've worked with that age group since I was that age.
Uh-huh.
But that is one of the key things. And I tell them all the time, guys, this is a chance for you to develop a skill that you're going to use the rest of your life
and right.
everything that you could possibly do. I don't mind, you know, if you're going to go into the service trade, if you're going to go to college and you're planning to be a doctor, you need to be able to talk to people and mm-hmm. people of all ages. Mm-hmm. And this is where you're going to practice. So we're going to mm-hmm. greet people when they come in, the importance of being able to provide good customer service and to really be able, and we've seen that it's so much fun to watch them coming in and being shy and timid and developing those skills where pretty mm-hmm. soon they gain that confidence. And that's one of the rewarding parts about what I do is being able to see them develop yeah. and move into different roles and then being able to teach others. And
yeah.
just because I know that is something that they're going to take with them the rest of their lives.
Yeah. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And you don't learn that in school, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You do not. They're not teaching that
yes.
skill.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
went somewhere over the weekend and I can't even remember where it was, but this person who was helping me was a huge salesperson. They were young. And I thought to myself, where did she learn mm-hmm. to be such a great salesperson?
Mm-hmm.
So it starts there. It
yes.
starts with your mm-hmm. first or your second job when mm-hmm. you're young. And I appreciate that you recognize that somebody did that for you.
Yes.
And that you want to pay that forward mm-hmm. and make sure that those young people no, it's a skill you're teaching them. You're not just teaching them how to run a credit card and say thank you. There's mm-hmm. more to it than that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
And it is a lot for the chances I got as a young person
yeah.
and also the expectations I think that I put on myself a lot of times, but I allowed
yeah.
others to put on me too, because sometimes they think I'm being tough on them, but I just say, guys, you can do this. Like, there's no reason that just because you're 16, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So don't sell yourself short. So really mm-hmm. trying to embody that mm-hmm. that encouragement and that confidence in themselves too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you use AI at all in your business?
We do some.
Yeah.
And so right now, I would say on the Bigfoot front, it's a lot of probably how most people are right now, you know, when you're searching, researching, and
right.
to polish documents and this
yes.
and that mm-hmm. along the way.
Of course.
But always being aware of how it can help improve experiences
yeah.
as well. Very curious about AI and the developments that
mm-hmm.
are coming.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like right now on the side that we can interact with on the customer service side. And that's what I think that it's, I don't know that it's good enough to replace someone for an experience at this point.
Agree.
And so hold off on some of that, but be very aware of how we could implement to improve an experience.
Yes.
But it's very exciting. And I think that in the next few years, we're going to see a lot that is going to be changing in that realm.
Well, Emma, have anything that is new coming that you can talk about?
Yes, I do, actually. So I mentioned that the escape rooms were new for us in 25. We're actually going to be opening three more in just a few weeks now.
Oh, wow.
So we've been hot and heavy on building them. So we create the theme and actually get to create the experience. So that's something I do love about being in the private sector is that creativity and that element of being able to make something where people are then interacting with it and going through that whole process. So, but hopefully by spring break, that is our goal by spring break is to have three new experiences. And then we'll also have some fun new stuff for summertime. So we're doing a lot right now. And it's, that building side is always a really fun, like I said, from the beginning, I learned I really like developing and creating. And so be able to pair that with the day-to-day operations too.
Yeah. Awesome. And for you business owners out there, those escape rooms are great team building exercises.
Yes.
So, it's really something to keep in mind if you need something for your team.
Yes, and along the way, we've actually had, when we've been doing hiring for different projects, we've actually taken applicants to participate in escape rooms. You learn a lot about leadership, decision-making, how people get along, all of that.
That's
so
true.
That's good.
That's good. Great. That's a great hiring tip.
And they will not expect it.
Right. Now we're going to lock in this room with these three people for 1 hour.
Yep. Yeah.
Try to get out.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the job?
Yeah. That's funny. Well, Emma, why don't you promote your business one last time, how people can find you on the strip where you're located in Branson.
Yes. So we're Bigfoot Fun Park, and we're right on the main entertainment district. And we're right across from the Toy Museum, right down from the Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. Our address is 3608 West 76th Country Boulevard. Okay. And we are open every day. Really, the only time we're closed is if it's snowing.
Okay.
And so, and yeah, come and spend weekends with us and get ready for spring break.
Yeah.
But we'll be open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. during the week and until 11 p.m. on the weekends.
Okay.
So, it's a great place to bring your friends, family, team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're anxious for it to warm up so that everybody can come down there to Branson
definitely,
to play.
Definitely. Yeah. And if you want to make advance reservations, you can also do that on our website, which is super easy to find. It's just bigfootfunpark.com.
Okay. Very good.
Awesome.
And you guys are on social medias too.
Oh, yes.
So if people want to look up, like, what kind of games do they have in their arcade and what,
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. All the Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest.
You name it. You're on it.
Yep.
Very good. Well, thank you, Emma. We really appreciate you.
Yes.
We really appreciate your sponsorship. We've enjoyed our conversation and look forward to working with you this year. So thank you all for listening. And we hope that you'll share this. It's getting close to time when we can get out and have a lot of fun. So please share this with people so that they know about Bigfoot Fun Park and we'll take their families there.
Yes. And we want to thank Gershma Mortgage for recording with us. And thank you to all of our other sponsors. We'll catch you on the next episode.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Be sure to watch today's full episode by visiting our website, simplyauthenticpod.com.